Dear citizens, if you have received this letter, you are invited to a celebration. Our community is strong and in maintaining its traditions. When the stars align and we celebrate our ancestors, our exemplars, and our family. This is the first time in 20 years the stars are in alignment. Please come to our settlement and enjoy merriment, dancing, and crafting. We hope that your journey is safe. The forest can be dangerous. Please join us as we undertake this spiritual journey in opening the tomb of our exemplars. We cannot wait to share it with you. Do not fear to act. Yours under the light of Naomi, Alicia, Elder of Ebon's Rest, founded from the survivors of the 57YE expedition. Welcome back, everybody, to LARPs and TARPs. I hope you have not missed us too much. My name is Morgan, and I am joined today by the wonderful Tom.
Ooh, the wonderful Tom. I like that.
Being kind to you this week.
It's what a treat. What a little podcasting treat. And what an atmospheric opening.
That was spooky. Ooh. I think I did that for Echoes of the Ancients as well. We spoke at the invitation as well. But yes, welcome to... we're going to be talking this week about a player event I attended called Welcome to the Forest.
Were you welcomed?
In a sense, kind of.
And was it a forest?
It was definitely a forest.
Okay.
So this player event, the basis of this was the people who were going had received a mysterious invitation.
Sounds like the beginning of Curse of Strahd.
From someone. Yes, it does a little bit. But a mysterious invitation inviting them to this settlement for a celebration. So we all kind of went together into the woods to go see what's going on.
Cool.
I was very excited for this one. It was really funny because I was looking at the breakdown of like the demographics of people that were going. And it was like, you know, 4 people from the Brass Coast, about, you know, 9 people from Highgard. There was, you know, a few Imperial Orcs. 22 Dornish people arrived at the site. We were like a third of the members there.
I just picture whenever there's some type of Empire player event involving combat, you just see this dust cloud in the distance, like, what's that? Glory, 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 glory.
I do enjoy the little OC moment we always have before Time Immemorial. Like, glory, 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 glory. Like the seagulls from Finding Nemo. But
I
yeah,
this was a Highgard event as well, and there's barely any Highgard.
It was. So it was arranged by someone who plays a Highgard character, kind of around a group from Highgard who are in attendance, but it was just a third of it was Dawn. We were just there in force.
It's a bit like the Reaper's Rest, though. It's like, if you didn't count the Reapers and the Jackdaws, there weren't many Leaguers there.
No.
But because it's such big groups...
Who was the majority nation, do you reckon, the Reapers?
Probably the Reapers, because of the Reapers.
Yeah, except the Reapers, I guess. I was trying to think.
And then there's the Jack. Maybe Navarre. There were quite a few Navarre
there. Yeah, there was quite a few Navarre.
But that was a nice big split.
Mm. But yeah, so it was a mostly Dornish in attendance. And we all arrived. It was in Coventry, and it was on a scout site.
Cool.
It was nice to be in bunks rather than a tent. Because I'm not having to dry out my tent tariff like at speed before E1.
How was the snoring?
So there was someone in my bunk who was...
In your specific bunk?
Not my bunk, in my bunk room. So 6 beds in the room we were in. It was a pretty decent snorer. and I think I also...
You are it, quite the snorer.
Yeah, I think I put... I'm pretty sure it sounds like I put my best effort in as well. But yeah, so we had like these scout bunk beds, got all our stuff set up and kind of got ready to time in. And we were given like a few options for time in.
Cool.
So we could either time in with a combat likely skirmish. Sorry, combat likely walk-in.
Cool.
A combat unlikely and a combat possible, I think, with a few...
Isn't that the same as likely and... No, no.
No, so it was like you know, kind maybe combat because it was like... Not necessarily a friendly encounter.
Combat, question mark.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, it's very easy to navigate your way out of this, but if you're an idiot, it can go sideways. And there's one where it's very, you can just walk in, I guess.
You son of a bitch. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, guess which one I went for?
combat likely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to get that Tristan punch up?
Yeah, him? I need you to get the fury racing through my...
He's been pent up all winter, listeners.
I had so many opportunities.
He can't wait to grasp that sword.
I had so many opportunities this weekend to be angry, Tristan. And it happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was cool. So we were kind of deep in the forest of... where is it? It's like on the border between Brocéliande and the Great Forest, the Eaves of Peytat in the Barrens.
You think I know the map?
You should do.
Nerd.
You should know what's going on. No, I'm joking.
You remember how you found Nietzsche lost on the trods.
Lost in Semaholm somehow. Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, like it's between the Barrens and Brocéliande.
Cool.
And you were in this kind of, when we arrived, we're in this area. So we go from being like, if we came from like Highgard, we ended up coming through Brocéliande. So we all...
Back to the Brock.
Yeah, exactly. You had the kind of the venom in the air and it was all very unpleasant. If you came from the Barrens, you went through the Great Forest. So you felt like you were being watched and you felt very, you know, uncomfortable and you were under the weakness effect. Then we arrived in, like, the mood shifted, and all of a sudden we had this overwhelming feeling that we were unwelcomed.
Yeah.
And everybody was put under the weakness effect. So we start to march in. We time in, kind of walking in through the towards the site. And at time in, we, you know, as we start to walk through, we see a small contingent of orcs. And we're like...
Good orcs or bad orcs?
Well, there was significant debate around this subject.
Ooh. Spicy.
Because we were like, who are you? Do you identify yourselves? And looked very shady. I was like, oh dear, what's going on? Anyway, we started to hit them.
Oh, okay. Did they not answer quick enough?
They didn't answer. We went up towards them. They started to lash out. One of them managed to survive, and seemed to be an impression that they were one of the subjugated septs of orcs. Yeah. So not actually druge, but like a sept of the druge.
Okay, so a sub-branch of the druge.
Yeah, exactly, like a vassal branch, if you like, who are kind of like subjugated and made to follow the druge.
Okay.
Technically, they are still recognized by the Senate as druge, if that's the case. So unless the Senate has formally said, this sept of the druge are different and recognized and foreigners, they are assumed to be barbarian druge.
I know it's impossible because the Senate wasn't on at that time. I just imagine them passing, these are now citizens under the protection of empire and democracy, just as you finished.
As a knife is through their throat. Oh, no. So, yeah, we find out, basically, we're trying to work out what's going on. It's getting dark. It's dangerous. We need to go back to town. We had a bit of an argument. One of them's saying they're a slave. And a lot of people are like, I just think they're lying to not die, honestly. So it's a bit back and forth. I can't remember what happened to the end. I think they're actually freed. I can't recall. Someone cut their tongue out?
Yes, freed with a...
Well, it's not very helpful when you cut someone's tongue out, because then you can't ask them questions.
Was that a Highgarder by chance?
No, it was a Nuvari.
Oh, yeah, of course it was a Nuvari.
You can't betray your enemy. But you can cut out their tongue.
But you just made them your friend by letting them go.
It was a strange series of events. Anyway, we get back to the town, and there's a lot of people very confused as to why we're there.
Okay.
There's a lot of people like, who are you? And we're like, we got an invitation. They're like, what? We invite people here. What are you talking about? And we're like, oh, well, we got an invite from someone called Alicia. And they were like, oh, that's her over there. She's our elder. So we go to meet Alicia. And she is a Naga.
Okay.
And the guide that led us in was a Dornish Briar, and their tabard had the Hounds of Glory on it.
Ooh, so they're not all dead.
Well, yeah, so they were a soldier of the Hounds of Glory. And I was kind of talking to her, and I was like, where are you from? Like, you're from the Hounds of Glory. When did you leave them? And she said, I got lost after the formation of the Steel Causeway, which happened last year.
Cool.
And what is
the Steel Causeway, may I ask?
The Steel Causeway was a massive... So it was in the middle of 384, I think. Basically, the Imperial armies pushed from the north and the south to meet in the middle, and they called it Steel Causeway. It was just the armies kind of pushed their way through, and they had this kind of big strip in the middle of the Barrens, which was Imperial,
yeah,
to kind of split the Druge up so they were in different places. And then it was basically where we then managed to do the rest of our push at a later time.
Cool.
And during the formation of the Steel Causeway, this person got lost. This knight got lost. And, you know, I said, well, I've got some horrible news for you. The Hounds of Glory are dead. The army was destroyed. Most of them have died. And she's like, what do you mean? So, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, she goes, well, okay, well, that's really sad. But I'm staying here, though. I feel very welcome here. I'm like, how long have you been here? She's like, oh, just over a year. I'm like, but did you not want to go home and see your friends? She goes, well, I feel comfortable here. I like you here. And you're like,
sus.
We feel very unwelcome. So weird that you feel welcome. And we meet a few NPCs over the course of the evening. There is a priest by the name of Malachi, who was like the high priest.
Okay.
Telling us about their virtues and stuff. And telling us they have a tomb full of exemplars. Now, exemplars recognized by the Empire are recognized by the Imperial Synod. Some places, I've been told, have their own exemplars, but they're not necessarily recognized by the Synod. They're just people are like, these guys are really fucking virtuous.
Ah, so that's basically the care home for the goodest souls.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're... I guess an exemplar is a little bit like a saint, a little bit.
That's what I was thinking.
A paragon is almost like definitely a saint because they kind of like were virtuous enough to escape the labyrinth, whereas an exemplar is they were just a very good example of the virtues that they were.
Just a good guy.
Yeah, exactly. So they were saying we've got a tomb full of our exemplars. We met a few people. Like I say we met Malachi, who was a priest. We met like a lot of other people. And there was little twinges here and there of like discussions about lineage, you know, suspect of people with antlers and horns and people being a bit lineageist to everyone. And as it turned out, the majority of the people there had a lineage.
Yeah.
So like when they were looking for quote unquote unpure, like people who weren't unpure, they very much struggled. So, guess what kind of encounter there was?
What kind of encounter?
It was a juicy boys encounter.
A juicy boys encounter.
It was very funny because obviously no one knew what that was, so I didn't mention it, but it just made me laugh.
Was there any of our friends crewing who did the juicy boy encounter?
No, I don't think anyone from my LARP were crewing, actually. But
you're listening, Harry and Kitty, you guys need to key this as a key LARP definition.
It is. We'll get this phrase to catch on. But yeah, we had to sneak up on some Druids outside the tent, talk about their plans. And that one actually resolved peacefully. We started to think that maybe they weren't actually too bad.
Okay.
They were just like under the yoke of the Druids. But they were talking about wanting to retrieve something from the human tomb. And we're like, what do they want? What strange thing do they want? But we didn't manage to find the information out from them.
Was it smut?
Can you imagine?
Ancient smut.
It's a massive tomb full of 3 centuries-old smut.
You don't know how many people at Empire would just go on the smut hunt.
Oh, hell yeah.
It'd be like finding the One Piece.
Yeah, no, ridiculous. Like, absolutely. But no, that didn't seem to be what they were looking for. We got attacked by a plague wolf. In the night, so they started running around attacking people. Or maybe just a big wolf. No one was actually quite sure.
There was no plague.
No one got venomed by it. And plague wolves usually do venom. So.
Okay.
But it was like throwing people
in
the ground and stuff.
How did they wreck a wolf costume?
It was similar to the ILARP werewolf costumes.
Okay, cool.
So it was like on 2 legs.
Ah, so they weren't doing the full O4.
No, no.
That'd be terrifying. Yeah. LARPers just doing that.
Can you imagine? You could get like... you know how Andy Serkis, when he does Caesar?
Oh, Caesar, yeah.
He has like the arm crutches so he can kind of walk like he's on all fours.
Yeah.
That would be really freaky if you could do that.
Gotta love Andy Serkis.
Yeah, he's amazing. So this wolf appears from nowhere. So we start running around. He starts cleaving people's limbs and striking people down.
Shit.
And after we've killed it, we're like, what is going on? We start having a look around. And strapped to a tree is a skull the size of a person.
Wow, that sounds like a brilliant prop.
It's just like on the tree and we're like, what? What's that? What does that mean? And the locals were like, I don't know. That wasn't there before. And we were like, good. Good.
Interesting. So it was, how did they resurrect this huge skull?
with a huge skull prop, literally clipped to the tree, this horrifying skull prop.
That's awesome. I was thinking, is it paper mache?
Well, I don't know what it was made out of, but it just was it just looked horrifying. Just kind of looking down, you're like, that. I don't want to meet whatever that was, where that came from. That's horrific. Someone said it probably means like we're unwelcome or in danger.
Skulls kind of do represent you're not welcome.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was these living statues wandering around.
Okay.
So these faceless statues walking around aimlessly, seemingly.
Interesting.
And they're like, oh, they're just the guardians. They are tied to the faceless man and they kind of look after us. And we're like,
right.
What? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. And we're like, okay, this feels strange.
This place sounds weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. Eventually, they crack open the tomb.
Cool.
And we have a little look in the tomb, and it's a tomb to, as I said, they're exemplars. And from the pictures of them, there are 5 highborn exemplars, their founders, and 2 Dornish.
Okay.
And we're like,
where's the other nation representation, guys?
And we're like, God. We're like, what's that about? It's like, well, we had the 5 founders, each of which represented one of the, like, 5 of the virtues.
Yeah.
And then one day, some Dornish saved us from Druge or from orcs or something, and 2 of them got lost there, and they ended up staying in the camp, and they kind of got adopted, and they became 2 of their exemplars as well.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool. Going around the tomb, they had all their virtues written up, but all of the 7 virtues were a little bit wrong.
Interesting.
So they were all a bit off.
Heresy?
Kind of, yeah. So it was like there was a lot of them where it was like the instructions on the virtues were like less about thinking for yourself, more about following what you're told.
Okay.
So it seems to be a kind of like it was a bastardization of the virtues to make you be like you have to listen to what you're told and don't do dangerous things.
So religious indoctrination rather than religious enlightenment.
Yeah. A different flavour of religious indoctrination. A different fascist Buddhism.
What a treat.
Yeah. So they were like, these are the virtues. And we were like, okay. Strange people.
Just burn these people as heretics.
Yeah, exactly. We go into further into the tomb. And there is this hand in the wall. This like stone hand reaching out. And we're like, what's this? What's the stone hand? What's going on? And there was like a slip of paper in it,
okay.
Which was like something like it needed an orb. Now, I'm going to be upfront with you right here. A lot of plot happened around me because when you've got a puzzle to solve, no one comes to ask the man who hits things very hard with his sword.
Yeah. Is this for the Finky players? Was this specifically made for the Finky players? Like,
I think a lot of the puzzles were. I think it was a really good attempt to make sure there was a lot of non-com plot.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah,
I'm never going to go against that.
I absolutely agree. I think it's funny for me, though, because I play... Tristan's not a very clever guy. I'm playing him. He's not an idiot, but he's not like...
He's not an Einstein.
Yeah, exactly. He's more there to kind of fight things. Like, he's still... You know, he's still got... He's more of someone who acts rather than someone that thinks about stuff.
Yeah.
And
so he's an Anakin, not an Obi-Wan.
Yes, exactly. About as angry as Anakin as well.
He's going to end up like Anakin, big gimp suit down the Empire Field.
I'll go into the academy. But yeah, there was a lot of that kind of plot happening around me. So I don't know a huge amount of stuff, but I know they had to find this orb. And then a bunch of people went on a little mission to find said orb, and it had to be bathed in the midday sun. And when it was ready, it would glow. And then the idea is you'd put it in the hand, and the door would open.
Okay.
So that was the kind of like the tomb done for the evening.
Just love it if someone just tried something like putting a baked potato in there.
We did all sorts. Someone poured water on it to wash it, because like the highborn like washing their hands. Someone held it, someone shaked it. Like everyone was experimenting.
Oof.
But then...
Oh, no.
Not everything.
Lube.
Christ. And then, yeah, eventually they found the orb and they put it in a little bowl outside and left it to kind of soak in the moonlight.
I hope someone put it away at night because it was a very windy weekend, or at least
was,
where I was.
It was very windy.
Could you just imagine the fizz rep rolling down the hill, you shaking this orb?
No, the orb! There was a few other like little nighttime scraps, but little Friday was like, there was a few bits going on.
Was there a safe haven pub like there was when you went to Echoes of the Ancient?
So the way they did it this time, basically, it was just an OC thing.
Okay.
Where they were just like, if you go in the building, nothing will chase you. Except in the tomb. Things will attack you in the tomb. Nothing's going to chase you into a building. So there was no icy explanation like there was at Echoes. It was just an OC, like if you are in a building, nothing will pursue you in there.
Cool.
Which I kind of enjoyed because I also quite liked, it was interesting how they did it because I think you can get quite worried about having icy explanations for things. But sometimes it's easy enough to just be like, this is the thing. This is how it is.
I guess it's a nice place like Empire. You kind of feel like you're always having to role play. But I suppose if you've got like a building like, yeah, just go in and chat or...
Well, it was more a case of just from a safety perspective of just being like...
nothing will happen to you in the building.
We don't need to explain to you why they're not going in the building. Cool. They're just not. So right. You'll be fine. And I quite like how they did that. Because it's interesting, the next day they were talking about how like, when it came to like the combat and stuff, they were like, we're going to start limiting numbers on skirmishes because they didn't have like a load of combat crew.
Yeah.
So like, we're going to limit numbers on skirmishes. And obviously at Empire, that's done by only so many people can go through the Sentinel Gate at certain times. Yeah. Whereas in this, there's no reason why we wouldn't all just go, right? Apart from to keep the village safe. So they just were like, only a certain amount of people can go on skirmish. So when the guide says, I need 15 people, only 15 people can go.
Was everyone respectable and shared out the opportunities?
Yeah, more or less. I think there was a few situations where characters were taking on like a larger portion of stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think happens. And I don't think anyone was doing it maliciously. I think it can just be like one of those things where you're in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
And then the stuff comes up. You're like, well, I'm already connected to this. So they keep following the route.
I want to keep going, yeah.
But I think there was a few instances where people got a lot of stuff and people didn't get a lot of stuff. I felt like I missed out a lot of plot. Because stuff was happening around me.
But did you get enough fighting to compensate?
Yeah, there was, I would say the only thing for me was like a lull in the middle of the day.
Right.
But I think that's because a lot of like non-com plot was happening.
Yeah.
So obviously there was much less for me to do, which again, I don't have a problem
with. I also guess you have a little bit of a lull in the middle of the day if you don't have that much combat crew. So the combat crew can have a bit of a rest.
Yeah, exactly. I think my only criticism of that would have been nice to have had that telegraphed so I could have taken my armor off.
Yeah.
But it's hard to have like an icy way to telegraph that because I basically spent all of Saturday fully tooled up except for like a 1 hour window. So it's like, it would have been nice to have like a
bell.
There's going to be no combat in this period of time. You can take your armor off. But again, it's really hard to do that. I know we've said that I like before we've been in the middle of dinner and something's happened, so it kind of just kind of
sorted out that now they've told us when dinner's going to be. Which, yeah, exactly. Johnny, love that.
Yeah, exactly. No crime at dinner time.
God. Then again, running across a shootout holding a pot noodle in one hand and a gun in the other is one of my favourite laugh experiences.
That was an incredible experience. We start the day out kind of giving an idea of what's going on. People are exploring the tomb, trying to find out what's going on in there. They put the orb in the hand and it goes to another room. And I see people trickling into the tomb. I go, oh, can I find out what's going on? This is all very strange. Go in. And as we go in, ghosts pour out of one of the doors.
Not spooky ghosts.
Yeah. And they'll say, repel, repel, repel. And we like fly back from like into the tomb. They leave the tomb and the door clunk closes behind them.
Son of a bitch.
We're stuck in, and then this horrifying noise starts like surrounding us. Inside the tomb on the table, there's a massive insect just lying there.
Okay.
And the whole time we're like, this thing's gonna come alive. And then the physic inspector noticed that his mouth was burned in the shape of a puzzle piece. And we found puzzle pieces everywhere. And then people started to put the puzzle pieces into a puzzle to try and unlock the next step.
Right.
All the while, there's like a few fighters in there, and we're all just there like, what's going on? Like, waiting for something to lunge at us. Eventually, we managed to get back out. They solve the puzzle, and then basically it's like, right, we're going to give it a little bit for the room to be reset whilst they set the next level of the tomb. So we leave. It turns out the ghosts have been causing havoc around town.
Right.
So the ghosts have been pouring out. They've been saying stuff to people. They've been attacking people. It was a terrible time for everyone involved. So we managed to get out of the tomb. And at this point, a lot of people started getting soul curses.
Not soul curses.
So there was things like, so a lot of them were related to some of these exemplars. One was like, your nation is the best, and you will not take insults to it lightly.
Oh, so just Morgan.
Just everyone. Everyone. Let's be honest. Everyone being like, you're very nationally proud. There was one which was pretty nasty, which was like, whenever you see lineage, you feel like a pulse of anger, and you blame them for all problems that have happened to you.
Now I'm just picturing, you know, like a dog in a mirror when it barks at itself.
Yeah, Tristan sees
his reflection in a shiny piece of armor, like, fuck you.
We literally, the night before, I forgot to mention, actually, so there's this one guy that went who previously was very, very lineageist.
Right.
And another person who had some pretty intense self-lineageism and had, like, recently, like, transformed and has done, like, a lot of stuff towards helping change Highgarde's attitudes. They both got cursed to hate lineage.
Oh, no.
After they both made so many strides towards it, and they were both like, one was like, oh, you lineages are horrible and dirty, and one that was a changeling who'd cut their antlers off was like, yeah, he's right. We are. You're all horrible. So then there's a few people getting these cursed. Like, everyone was getting, like horrible auras and stuff.
That sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah. Though I think one of my favourite moments, though, was we had I had a massive argument with someone. So a fight ensued. One of my friends had been injured in this fight. They'd been, like, everyone that I could jumped on them to take him down. I won't go into the details of the argument because I don't want to sway anyone towards any opinions, but we had, like, this massive argument, and I got backed up by two people. And as I left, one of them goes to me, like, oh, are you under one of these auras as well? I went, what? What auras? I was like, what's going on? No, I was just angry.
I would love to see how Circuit acted under that aura.
Oh, no one noticed.
Oh.
Circuit was under the aura all day. It was being mean to people all day. And everyone was just like, bloody twig. Oh, twig, what's this about? They kept being like, God, I hate you, Dornish. Or you changelings. And we were just like, all right, twig, bloody hell. Leave it off, will you?
I love that horrible curse. That's just Twig being Twig.
Oh, Twig. That happened a few times to a few people. Everyone was just like, oh, well, that's just them. So that was very funny. But yeah, lots of people start coming under these soul curses. And then we have a few encounters. We find in the tomb at one point, people find a skull. And it had these big horns. It was a huge skull. And I think it was a giraffe skull replica.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And we find this giraffe skull replica. And we find out through someone did a day ritual, we found out that the Druze want it, basically.
Who doesn't want a giraffe?
Yeah, because it was like there's like a Druze magician, and she wanted it back because it was her grandmother's pet. And it wasn't a giraffe. It was a horrifying creature from our halogen in the Spring Realm with, like, the skull of a giraffe for a head, a long neck, and a horrible body.
Fair.
Yeah.
I just picture this horrible Druge mage, but with, like, a giraffe on a leash.
Yeah.
Proud as punch.
No, apparently it was a horrific, like, insect giraffe scorpion monster.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. So they did a ritual about that, and they found out that these Druge magicians want it. Then there's a few other encounters with the Druze. One mechanic I really enjoyed, because we were going, basically they were harassing the area, so we were going to get rid of them, and they had this mechanic where as you're walking through the field, a ref would walk up to you and be like, bear trap, and they would hand you a traumatic wound. So they were kind of, basically we were walking through this field that was absolutely littered with traps. I got hit on the head with a massive rock and fell to the ground. So as you were trying to run towards the Druze, we're just getting knocked out, having legs ruined, legs broken and stuff.
Picture Tristan's is like Adam West from Family Guy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy.
No, I got hit on the head by a rock and I was like screaming for a physic, and the physic runs over, looks at the traumatic wound, is like, yeah, just have a cup of water and maybe have a sit down when we get back to town.
You're concussed.
Yeah, it was basically, yeah, just a mild concussion. So I just kept stumbling a little bit for the rest of the fight. But I think my favorite bit was I saw there was like four Druge and there's four Imperials stood in a line facing each other with about 2 meters between them. I don't know if you know how I feel about lines, Tom, but I hate them. And I went up to this line and I said, why are you waiting? And they said, because there's traps everywhere. I said, how bad are the traps? They said, well, you've seen everyone. I went, So I stepped forward. Nothing happened. I went, well, there we go. And, ran. And then we just, oh, shit. And then we just ran at them and just smashed them into the ground. It was just this very funny moment to be like, let's find out how bad they are. Oh, not bad at all. Which was good.
That sounds like a really good comedy moment.
Yeah, it was good. It was just a very funny moment where it was like nervousness, just standing there. I was like, sod it, let's see how it goes. I can always see a physic afterwards, which was good fun. So we beat the Druge, and then we went back to town. Oh, I looted a Druge at one point.
Right.
And as I was looting them, I got stung by a scorpion. Because I was looting them for 30 seconds, and the guy goes, you're looting me, right? I said, yeah. And they put a scorpion in my hand. I was like, gave me a traumatic wound. I was like, oh! God damn it! No goodies for me.
You got a traumatic wound. Some say that would be the best.
Yeah, I had to get a scorpion that was burrowed under my skin, pulled out with a knife, which was intense.
I still haven't received a traumatic wound. Not an invite for anyone to give me one, but...
Well, I gave out some traumatic wounds. Let me tell you. I'll talk about that later. So it's a little bit later on, and we've got this. And a lot of this is very much out of chronological order, but there was this kind of there was a period where we had to take the what was it now? The Druze were going to do something to us. Oh goodness, the Druze were going to do something to us, and we were like to stop them. So we were going. How was it? We were going to have a negotiation. As part of that negotiation...
But you don't negotiate with terrorists, Morgan.
Well, as part of that negotiation, we were going to take the skull to them.
Cool.
Okay. And as we were taking the skull to them, magic was going to be done to destroy it.
Okay.
So it was going to be, and then we were going to run out and attack them. So we were all getting ready to do that. And as we start to kind of make our way out, we all start to leave out, and everyone's like, where's so-and-so? Like, this Navari, the one that cut the tongue out of someone the day before. It's like, where have they gone? Couldn't find them. We're like, oh, we'll just go. It'll be fine. And when we go to the encounter area, and we see these Druze lined out, there's two archers and a crossbow, like a Druze there, who's, I think, they're like the main witch.
Yeah.
And the person we couldn't find, kneeling in front of them with a knife at their throat.
Ooh. Ooh, tasty.
And we're like, oh no, because they'd run ahead and got caught.
Typical Navari.
Yeah. And then we start to make our way out. The two magicians have got the skull that they're trying to destroy. The Druge kind of witch with a knife at this person's throat starts saying something, we can't hear it. Then she gets the knife and goes, venom! And cuts the Navari's throat.
Okay.
So the Navari's now on a 30-second bleed count, throws it to the ground, and we're like, shit. And everyone just whoosh, like runs up the field. And then we have like a really intense fight. Remember this as well, by the way, we're all under weakness.
Okay.
The entire no calls from us. They can make calls. We can't.
Oh no, you don't have unstoppable.
No, don't have anything. They had like a little protection banner that they could use. Nothing for us. We had nothing. So it was a very intense fight. Before we went on, he was like, this is going to be a hard fight. If you're not here, if you're good to struggle. If you don't want to be on a dangerous fight, you have to feel free to go back to town.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty intense fight, and we lost the objective because the skull didn't get destroyed. They grabbed it and ran.
Right.
We managed to save the person, but it was just this really cool moment where it's like, ah! And then the person who had meant to destroy the skull goes up to the person who'd run away and basically ruined the mission because they got kidnapped and just punched her in the face. Like, you idiot! You know what you've done! And like, punched her in the face, get that to be dragged away.
Sometimes it's better to lose for the story.
Yeah,
type 2 fun 100%, is great.
100%. There was another encounter where we fought some insects the size of people with big scythe arms, which was like a really good encounter.
Did they have oil and were they a threat to democracy?
Yeah, we were fighting the Terminids. We were gave them all a nice little cup of liberty. yeah, we had a full, which was really good fun. They were really intense monsters with like cleave, and they had like loads of hits.
Cool.
Which was that was a really good encounter, really fun combat. And whilst all this is happening, there's these ghosts coming out of the tomb, and a lot of these ghosts are, it seems like, former inhabitants of the village.
Yeah.
And we're all a bit like, well, why haven't they gone to the labyrinth? You know, ghosts, are, you know, your soul, when you die, goes into the labyrinth. At one point, we meet a changeling ghost who's had their antlers cut off.
Right. right?
And as they came out, they were basically just like, someone called my name. There's a bunch of us were all called to one place, like Evan, who was a changeling. And I was like, this ghost just wants to see happy changelings. Because obviously their life had been horrible because they'd been mistreated because they were a changeling.
Yeah.
And there was just this moment where they were going through everyone and talking about them and why their life was good and this person. It was really emotional.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. Yeah,
this dead changeling just kind of stood there sobbing.
Just what a good day.
Yeah, they're like you can still see a bit of blood from where their antlers have been cut off. Like, it was really intense.
Hi, God, you monsters.
Yeah, I knew the person that was playing the changeling as well. But it was really good. And it was, there was a lot of these kind of encounters. We met one who was a bit of a scumbag called Jeconiah.
Okay.
Who was like one of the founders of the site. So we were going through all these ghosts and spirits were appearing, and there was an orc spirit that appeared. I don't really know what happened with that because it was mostly the orcs that spoke to them.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what happened with the orc ghost, but there was like a bunch of human ghosts which were coming out, and everyone seemed trapped. All these ghosts were like trapped. It was very strange. One encounter went out to find, and they found this massive like stone statue, which looked very similar to the Guardians. You know, those like the living faceless man statue things that were walking around. It looked like one of them, but it wasn't complete.
Right.
So they put that in the center of town. And we were, no one really knew what it was. Someone did insight on it, which is a religious ceremony, and found out that there is something tied to this thing.
Okay.
And they were like, it required a rank 13 exorcism.
I'm guessing I don't know much about exorcism.
An exorcism typically requires that, so when you do an exorcism,
yep.
You provide one rank.
Cool.
Two people, two ranks. So you would need 13 people, or the things required, because there's magic items which can boost your rank.
Right. Can you do up your rank naturally through experience points as well?
I don't know. I don't think you can.
Right.
I might be very wrong on that, but I don't think you can increase how many ranks in a thing you can do. I think you need magic items to do that. I don't think it's like spells.
Message in if you know.
Yeah, it'd
be interesting to know.
Yeah, because I know that obviously when you're learning realm lore, you buy more ranks in that lore, but I don't think you can buy ranks in exorcism. Maybe you can.
This, listeners, I will remind you, Nietzsche is a simple beat stick.
Yeah,
he's got his hero points. He's got his endurance.
Me and Tom just hit things.
And look good doing it.
You do, You do a lot of fortitude, don't you? You're all about bleed count.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Save me, please. I'm down, but
I've got half an hour, Oh, I tell you what, though. If I see you bleeding on the battlefield, just walk past with, venom.
Oh, don't be that dick.
Hello, venom. Enjoy.
Sweating.
But, yeah, so...
Don't do that to players,
no,
people.
That's
just killing a person's character.
No, absolutely not. That is, unless you're...
Because I think they had a big thing about that last year at Empire. A lot of people were just going venom on the ground. And
Monstering isn't... You're not supposed to do it.
No.
Because they have execution units. Because who do it? There are monsters during a battle who will execute you.
I've not seen an execution squad. Yeah. They sound amazing.
The Druge ones, apparently, you know when they're coming because they wear bloody aprons.
Okay. Oh.
And you see them coming towards you. So looking at the Grendel brief, we do a lot of venom.
Right.
So that it does happen. But yeah, don't go around executing people. That's not your job.
It's not poggers.
It's not what you're there to do.
For your little amusing joke, that's probably costing a person hundreds, if not thousands of pounds to get you kicked.
Yeah, but also it's not the point, right? You're not there to kill the characters. You're there to give them a good time. God, way off track. What were we talking about? Exorcisms.
That's the one.
So it was a rank 30 exorcism, which was really high, right? It's hard to get to that because not everybody can exorcise. You all have to be either in the same nation. Not the same nation. You have to be in the same sect,
right?
Which is like a priest group, or be dedicated to the same virtue to be able to do an exorcism together.
Okay.
Right. And it's quite hard to achieve that, rank 13.
Yeah.
So we start, going through, we put the statue in the middle of town. We're not quite sure what to do with it. People are making their way through the tomb. People, like, loads of stuff's happening with that. Like, people are finding keys and puzzle pieces. And each time the tomb, they're getting deeper and deeper and deeper beneath the ground.
Is there simultaneous parts of the tomb going on, or is this just a continued so linear quest?
It was one room.
Cool.
And then what they did was when you went to the next room, they moved everything back and built it again.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a lot of effort on Crew's part.
Yeah, absolutely. At one point, there was like a room full of skeletons, and they were just everyone was just dragging the bones out because they were going to do rituals to try and find out who these people were. And I think they ended up being like the bones of the people that lived there. And then that's when we found, do you know what, I've kind of jumped back in time, but that's when we found the massive skull in this big bone room. Why it was in there, I don't know. There was this old Druze woman's skull that was put in the bone room in the tomb.
Could call it the bone zone.
I think it's because, so I'm pretty sure the site where this society, this kind of group started was supposed to be like built on an old orc tomb.
Cool.
So it was originally like an orc thing. So we, you know, everyone's making their way through the tomb and eventually they get to the bottom layer of this tomb and there are coffins holding each of the different exemplars.
Right.
And they crack open the tomb of somebody called Eben. And Eben's bones are all scattered inside and they're not in a good order. I believe Eben's skull was missing. And then there was a little thing on the side with like a picture of some bells and like a song. And then also, like I say, Eben's skull was missing. And you can't do anything like speak with dead unless you've got the full body.
Okay.
So over the course of the rest of the thing, a few people go on these other missions. They retrieve 5 bells, one for each of the exemplars, one of which was the dinner bell. But yeah, each one of the virtues.
Can you imagine? No dinner for you guys unless you find that bell.
So we took the bells into the tomb and they managed to speak to Eben, who was this one of the exemplars. And it turned out that Jeconiah, who was this guy we were getting good bad vibes from, who was like a red ghost, had basically tried to hide Eben's body.
Right.
And erase his memory from history. Because Jeconiah wanted to constrain people here. Keep the ghosts there, whereas Eben wanted, he didn't want that basically. So a lot of his messages have been changed. There was also a ghost of someone called Naomi who we found as well. But when we opened Naomi's tomb, there's no bones in there.
No bones in the tomb?
No bones in Naomi's tomb.
It's a bone free zone.
It was a bone free zone. So we're all starting, very confused. We're at the bottom of this tomb. Missing a skeleton. There is eventually an argument between two of the ghosts, between Eben and Jeconiah, about what's happened and what was supposed to happen. All this is kind of going on, trying to work out what's at the bottom of the tomb and kind of how we're going to deal with it. And it's kind of building up to the big final thing.
Part of me wants the big final thing just to be that scene from Ghost where it's one of you with Patrick Swayze making pottery in the basement.
No, not quite. I have realised, though, I'm getting towards the end, I forgot completely to talk about the tournament.
I forgot to talk about a tournament.
So, there was this massive tournament. These guys arrive and they're like, right, we're having a tourney. Are you guys ready? We're like, what? We didn't hear about a tourney? I was like, yeah, we're having a tournament. Now, luckily, we'd managed to ward the site using orcish blood magic.
Right.
So we were able to, when we were in the village, we weren't under the effects of weakness. So I was like, cool, I have all my hero points. And we did a big tourney. And there was different prizes. There was a prize for whoever downed the most people. There was a prize for whoever healed the most people. There was a prize for the biggest hype man. Or hyper person, and there was a prize for the overall winner of the tournament. And they were all named for different virtues.
Yeah.
So I think it was like the down the most foes was ambition. I think healing was courage.
Cool.
I think the hyper person was pride, and then the overall winner was wisdom. A few things. You could heal people, and they could get back up. You could hit healers. healers could hit you. If you hit the same person once, they got up again, you hit them again, that's 2 kills because they could be healed, so you can knock them down again. And there was a timer on it, and we didn't know what the timer was.
Okay.
It was chaos.
I imagine so.
Now, there was, you know, fighting, smashing people. I had my new big shield, so yeah. I was having a lot of fun with my new big shield. I was like, there was quite a few people I attacked, which was great. Laugh. There's one guy who I knocked down, and then 2 minutes later, I turned around, I was like, come here, you bastard, smacks me again, because someone healed him. I was like, ah! But he was completely unarmored. Now, burning through my hero points. And then there's this other guy who I've had like a bit of a rivalry with.
Ooh.
Since Juvenalia. I know I've only been to it, like, well, it's kind of been an off-screen thing.
Yeah.
But he just turned to me, he's like, right, it's about time. Gets his pole arm and does strike down on me.
Right.
So I flatten on the floor and I can see his legs and I grab my sword and I cleave his leg. So he slams onto the ground and then I drag myself towards him, get my shield, and as he brings up his pole arm, just slam my shield onto his palm and just whilst he's on the floor, just whack, 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 like slamming into him until he stops moving. I'm like, oh. Kind of get up, turn around, I see like someone else, cut them down. Someone tries to heal the person I've just cut down. I cut them down as well.
Morgan's a monster, folks.
I cannot remember who cut me down now. I want to say it was one of the orcs, and a pretty well-known orc as well. And I get slammed onto the ground by them and get healed at the end of the competition. And I work out I'd knocked about 7 people down.
Nice, that's no mean feat.
I thought I'd done 8, but the person I was slamming with my sword, he was like, I think someone else got the last blow on that. And I'm like, what do you mean? I was on top of you. He was like, no. I was like, fine, we'll call it 7. So we get to the end and everyone's queuing up and it's like talking about healers and who healed the people the most. And then at the end it is, then they go, right, who hit the most people? And then I said 7. Someone said there was quite a few 4s, a 5 here. And then we go all the way to the other side and the orc, who I'm pretty sure was the one that beat me in the end, said 7.
Ooh.
And the organizer went, right,
bout.
You two. And I was like, ready to go. Timer was called. In true Tristan fashion, just ran towards them with my shield. Like, shield out, sprant at them. And then just had the ever-loving hell kicked out of me by this orc. Like, whacking me. I was like, oh my God, help. And just went down.
I made a mistake.
Help. So yeah, they got they ended up winning that part of the competition. And then there was a bit at the end, which was like, who's the overall winner? And most people got behind me.
Yay!
So I became overall winner of the competition. The thing of wisdom, I think. They say overall winner, but it wasn't.
Someone needs to bring you down. You won the Reaper's dueling competition.
It's terrible. Champion of the Reapers and of Ebon's Rest.
Thing is, I've seen you at sword practice. You're not that good.
It's just all about the...
It's all about confidence.
It's all about running very hard. And also...
Morgan, you're always hard.
My martial skill's not great. It's you know, 90.
You're a little office nerd.
Yeah, but most people aren't. When I come across someone that can sword fight, it's not ideal.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so we,
That's why I have a big helmet. Just like, point, keep away from me.
Stay away. Pole arms are great. So yeah, that was fun. However, in the course of this tournament, I go near the weird statue that was found.
Ooh.
And the ref comes up to me.
Oh, can I ask what the prize, what's the physical prize?
Oh, yes, I got some light armor. I don't know what it does.
Ooh,
but I've
nice.
Got some light armor, which
but
I'm
you never wear light armor.
No, I'll give it to someone in the house.
Sell it.
I might sell it, yeah.
You need money, man.
I do need money. I went near this statue that Ben found earlier, and the ref goes to me, here you go. And I get a soul curse.
Cool.
The soul curse is whenever you see lineage people, you feel a pulse of anger. And all the problems in your life are probably their fault.
Self-hating Tristan.
Tristan's never hated himself. In all his life, Tristan's never hated himself.
Even with this terrible curse that makes you hate all lineages.
This he did.
Oh.
So this is the first time Tristan's ever felt any form of self-loathing. And I'm looking for somewhere to sit. There's lineage people everywhere. And I'm just being rude to people, like, consistently. People keep going, Twig came up to me and went, well done. They touched me and went, and walked off. And they're like, what the hell? I think they said something to me and I just said something rude back.
This sounds like a game that needs a lot of OC check-ins.
Oh, I had like loads of check-ins this weekend. Like all weekend I was checking in with people because Tristan was on one.
Check-ins are big and smart people.
Yeah, they are. Someone had picked up my flower crown for me, which was very nice. But they were lineaged. So I walked up to them and snatched them off and marched off. My troubadour, Sol, comes up to me and she says, well done, Tristan. I said, yeah. She goes, I hear you won. I said, yeah, no, thanks to you. Where were you? She went, what do you mean? I said, you weren't hyping me up. You didn't heal me. What were you doing? I was busy. Yo, yeah, okay. I could have won if it wasn't for you.
How could you ever be mean to Beth?
It was rough, dude. I had to go up to Beth and be like, just so you know, there's a reason for this.
I just picture Beth, you know, like those cartoon teary eyes. Like, Beth, no.
Sol had tears painted on this weekend. So it was like full on. But yeah, so really rude. A friend of Tristan's came over who was a Cambion because they noticed something was up. She noticed something was up and she was like, hey, Tristan, you all right? And started asking me questions. And I said to her, what do you want? What are you planning? What are you scheming about? Because Cambions are schemy. And I was like, what are you scheming about? I'm like, nothing, I'm just talking to a friend. I'm like, yeah, fine, sure. But what do you actually want? And eventually they're like, okay. And they went up to Sol and they said, Sol. She said, Sol, she goes, just go exercise Tristan. Don't say anything. Don't talk to him. Just go do it. She went, I don't want to. And she was like, just talk to him. Just do it. You have to talk to him. Just sex to him and do it. And the whole time, I'm like pulling at my antlers.
Right.
Like, you know, like trying to pull them off or like grabbing at my ears. And I'm just like trying to find somewhere where there's no lineage people sat. Impossible.
Could you imagine this be the first time you respect Nietzsche more than anyone?
Oh, I know. I was really nice to unlineage people, but anyway, and orcs. But lineage people, no. Sol sits next to me for a little bit, and then I just like after she didn't do anything, I walk away, and she chases after me, and she just does like a really annoyed exorcism, and there's just this moment where I'm like holding my tankard in rage as she's just talking, and then obviously the exorcism happens, and I just like drop my tankard and just collapse into her arms and just start crying. And she's just like, and it was just this real moment of like, because we'd seen the changeling who had like been mutilated and hated, you know, it was like just like that feeling of like they hate themselves, and to have felt that was horrible.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have to finish what's going on here. We have to finish this.
Look at this silly little game making you experiment with emotions.
Dude, I can cry a lot at the drop of a hat now. It's ridiculous.
Still haven't managed it. I've got the emotional range of a teaspoon.
So, fast forward, but I have missed a lot, I'm sure. But we fast forward back to the final thing of the night. And there are three simultaneous things. An exorcism of rank 13. A ritual that needs to be cast targeting the tomb. And people need to be in the tomb to interact with it because there is a secret underlayer.
Secret tunnel?
Through the mountain. And so we have to have these three separate groups and everything has to happen simultaneously. Because once the exorcism starts, monsters are going to start appearing. When the monsters start appearing, stuff's going to happen in the tomb.
Shit. LARP is doing things simultaneously in good order. So you're doomed.
We organise runners. We organise the martial forces. We have with us a general. So we say to the general, can you organise the forces?
What general?
I don't want to say because...
Oh. Fair enough.
Yeah, because I haven't got OC permission. But
oh, no, I just meant which army, curious?
Well, that will tell everyone. Oh, yeah. That will tell everyone who they are.
Silly Tom.
Yeah, General was there. So we kind of worked with them to organize the forces. And we were like, if you could lead us.
Yeah.
Pitch black. Absolutely pitch black. Sol was going off with the exorcists. And we were both like, don't die.
Okay.
She temporarily changed to ambition because they needed to be the same virtue.
Good virtue.
Good virtue. They needed to be the same virtue. And Sol had been doing exorcisms all weekend, like loads. And she was like playing it because Liao's a drug.
Yeah.
So she was just like high as a kite because she'd been sniffing so much Liao and had to go do
it. I'm just picturing that Scarface.
Literally. So she went to do an exorcism and we were both like, don't die. And we're all like, we had to go protect a ritual. Okay. So we got all the martial forces together. And I say to like three of Tristan's friends, I'm like, right, if everything goes wrong with the exorcism, they're going to send a runner and we're going to run down to kind of help with any problems that happen. We go to the ritual site and we wait for everything to kind of start, get the ritualists in place, and then statues start to come to life and start marching towards us. They've got flails and they can strike you down and shatter things. And we were literally like through the dark, couldn't really see anything running through. And I'm not going to lie, it was very good. It was very efficient. Yeah. People spread out a bit too much sometimes, but we managed to get them back in because it's like people chasing after the enemy. It's like the objective is protect the ritualists, nothing else. Yeah. Don't get pulled out, stay where you are. And everyone did a really good job. It was fantastic to see, or not see, as the case may be. It was absolutely pitch black. Whilst this is going on, the exorcists are surrounding this weird statue. They're doing a big exorcism on this thing. In the tomb, they've got into the bottom level by using the bells, and there's this big rod within this massive statue before them that they're going to have to pull out because they worked out from visions. You pull the rod out, and the statue will... something will happen to the statue, and the ritual will finish. So we're doing this magical ritual targeted at the statue. The exorcism's happening. We're attacking these monsters, and then all of a sudden, the statue stopped moving.
Right.
So we're like, all right, let's go back. We've discovered that the statues have come alive because the souls of the village are getting trapped within them. Because this rod is keeping people here. They're stuck.
Right.
The exorcism happens, the connection's destroyed, and then they pull out this rod from this statue. The statue collapses, and all the souls are freed to the labyrinth. Okay. We've done it. We complete. Mission complete. That complete success. No deaths. And then me and the people who organized to protect the exorcists run back to the exorcism site, and they're all on the floor.
Are they okay?
And we're like, guys. And I got up to her, so I'm like, Sol, you okay? And she looked at me, get away from me. And I was like, oh dear. Now, remember when I said it was really hard to get that many exorcists in one place?
Yep.
We basically used every exorcist.
Right.
And every exorcist had got a soul curse.
Oh no!
Including Sol. And we were like, How?
Yeah.
What were we going to do? We found a couple. Luckily, we found a couple more. So I managed to bring them out, exorcise themselves. I watched a beautiful exorcism of Sol from another exorcist from Empire. And yeah, we kind of had a thing. And we basically, mission complete, we'd done it.
Fun little event then.
Really good, yeah. I've missed out a couple of things, I think. We had a bit of an encounter with Malachi the priest, who was kind of furious that we were getting like meddling because he was trying to preserve old traditions, which was fantastically role-playing by the villagers.
Damn you meddling kids!
Literally, he was furious. It was a friend of ours, I'll tell you after, a friend of ours doing it, and he played a fantastic job of being this really intimidating priest who was like trying to get us to stop, but we're like, no, this is for the... like. After I'd felt the feelings I'd felt because of the possession, after seeing the suffering, after knowing souls are trapped, you know, we managed to get through. I don't think any crimes were committed. If they were, I'm not going to say it. A lot of things happened outside of what I saw. I know that the Ebon was tied to one of the groups who play Empire.
Okay.
And they had been doing stuff with Ebon's bones, but I didn't see much of that. It was a really good event. The plot was really cool. It was really tight. It was nice and self-contained. Which I think is really important for a player event.
Good debriefings and whatnot at the end.
Did a debrief. There was nothing because there wasn't huge emotional themes.
No, it just sounded like there was a lot of PvP roleplay in the anti-lineage.
Yeah, there was. And I think everyone did a really good job of being respectful of each other. I checked in with people. Most people were good. So it was a really good, fun event. I really enjoyed it and made me even more excited for E1, which is in a couple of weeks.
E1 hype.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, welcome to the forest. 5 stars. Really good time. The food was fantastic as well. It was hot food morning, evening and night.
Any chicken?
Yeah, we had chicken legs. We had stews. We had pasta bolognese. We had pulled pork, roast pork, breakfast sandwiches, the whole work.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, it was really good.
And you got a bunkhouse this time, didn't you?
Yeah. Really good all round. It was really nice to be Tristan again. Kind of let's off some steam. I'm super excited to get back to E1 now.
Yeah, I think next week we're trying to record pre-LARP because we're on the pre-LARP bandwagon.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're starting to wind up towards full-on LARP season now.
Not going to let Ian's flame die out. We're going to fight for pre-LARP.
Yeah, I wonder if the LARPs and TARPs... Not LARPs and TARPs. I wonder if the LARP noobs gang will continue with the pre-LARP.
There you go, Million Bung. We're calling you out. Are you going to continue pre-LARP?
Are you pre-LARPers? Is there anything you wanted to add?
No, it sounded like a great event. I really need to get to a player event that does involve combat.
Yes, they are.
I've just been going to balls mainly and hobnobbing and doing the more... I don't even play political game there. I go drink and have a chat to mates.
I think there's a little bit of fear around combat player events, I think. But honestly, they're a real laugh. Like, they're really good fun. Echoes of the Ancients was fantastic. This was fantastic. I might even try to go to more, I think, over socials.
Well, as we know, I have plenty of leave left to try some more.
Mm.
It's just the finances. LARP is not a cheap hobby.
I really enjoy some of the balls, but I think I might try and do a more combat-heavy player events next year.
Okay.
But yeah, super excited for E1. The winds have started to drop. We're at war with the Grendel.
Do check out our Grendel episode if you want to know how to fight them.
Yeah, go back and check the Grendel out. Again, we'll be doing our pre-lap soon, so I won't talk too much about what's going on.
Will you be making Grendel kit, or have you already made Grendel kit?
I literally just need to buy a big piece of purple cloth for a toga. That's all I need.
Cool. I was silly. I was meant to buy more kit this year. I've spent my kit money on another portrait of Nietzsche.
Of course you have.
Because I'm an egotistical bastard.
You just need like a purple. Are you going to do Emu?
Depends on my leagueish contracts.
Oh, no, because...
I can even fight with Dawn EMU or League EMU.
Oh, yeah, but it will... I suppose, because if you're doing... it'll be Grendel anyway, either way.
To be fair, I have enjoyed just rolling out of bed like that half an hour, a bit later, and just like, I'm just going to general monster. Yeah. But I loved EMUing, but I kind of like EMUing with my nation.
Yeah, no, that was super valid. I'm very excited to... I've bought an Orc Morph suit.
Okay.
And I'm going to get a purple cloth for a toga. And I'm going to full on, like, because they kind of like, I think the category, I was reading the brief for it, and it was like the type I'm playing is like big thinking orcs. So it's like philosopher orc in my big toga wandering around doing spells.
I really want to get some Grendel kit. Out of all the orc barbarian nations, they're the one that speak to me the most.
It's like a Greco-Roman kit. Yeah. So like there's a few people who've got some like Greek leather armor and stuff, which looks cool.
I want to shout out, I can't remember the area or the player it was, but big shout out to the single player with the one army that stood up against the entire Grendel fleet.
Oh, the Freeborn.
You are one. A Chad.
That's madness. The single Freeborn. Oh,
you could tell such an amazing story about that.
I think someone said they better not pay for a single drink at E1.
It's just crazy.
But yeah, we'll talk about more stuff at pre-larp. And then we're getting super excited to dive in to actual Empire.
Yeah.
But thank you very much to everybody for listening. If you've liked what you have heard, please go ahead, like and subscribe. Give us a follow if you're on any of the podcast apps. If you've enjoyed, leave us a 5-star review. I only accept 5-star reviews.
Please put one on Spotify just for me. We're on 68 at the moment. I need my 69 on Spotify.
but yeah, please give us a nice review. That honestly, especially on live podcast apps, that helps a bunch.
Oh, definitely. We want to continue doing this. Every helps
and,
us massively.
Thank you very much to our Patreons. And if you want to join them, you can find us on Patreon at Fabletop.
It helps us get to LARP.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And replace broken equipment. So yes, thank you very much for listening, everybody. And we will see you next week with more LARP talk.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you later.